out.
Can I just ask you, how are you so tan right now?
I've been walking. I've been doing my steps. Am I burnt still? Yes. Am I still burnt?
A little bit. Yeah, turning? I don't know if you guys can see, but yesterday or last night, Freddie got out of the shower and he's like, "Babe, do you have any aloe vera?"
I was a lobster.
I mean, you're still red up there, but.
But I think that, what is it, aloe vera?
Aloe vera, yeah.
Aloe vera?
Aloe vera?
Aloe vera?
That's what I say.
Well, whatever it was. I have no pain.
It works. I know.
I woke up. I felt so much better. But my neck and my face are used to the sun and my forearms, but my actual back.
It was red. It was red.
Yeah, it was bad. But I'm just trying to get myself used to it because I know that we're going to be spending more time outside in Florida because we're going to be at a house and we're actually going to be able to have some sunshine. So I said, well, why don't I, for the next 5 weeks, go walk every day and every like third day take my shirt off so that my skin can get used to it again. And
well, it must be nice because I'm going to burn. I've got no sun.
But you put sunscreen on you.
I put it on me?
Don't you put it on? I don't mind it on my back, but I will not put sunscreen on my face. I just don't like anything on my face.
The crazy thing with sun is I know with anti-aging it's not great, but I do love a great bronze because I grew up in the sun. I grew up in South Florida, so that's how I knew about aloe vera because I'd always get really tan and then you put it on if you're burnt.
I guess you can find really good sunscreen.
Oh, yeah. They have it for your face and
I'd
everything.
I'd be so nervous. I'd have to do it.
Why would you be nervous to put it on?
Because I don't want to break out or something.
You're not going to break out.
I've never put anything on my face. The only thing I ever had were the two Night and Day anti-aging cream we've been using for 6 years. Yeah. It's all I've used. And I had to go through a process where I had to test it out on different parts of my face every single day to make sure I wasn't allergic.
Serious.
So I'd have to do that with sunscreen.
We'll do it right on your nose. We'll test your nose first so that if it breaks out, the rest of your face will be red, your nose will be white, and you'll have a bunch of breakouts.
That'll be cute. That'll be real good. Real good for the podcast.
We'll do it right before the podcast, the day before.
Well, I think it should be fine, but I do want to experiment.
I'll try.
And just put a little bit because I don't want to burn, but I also want to be outside a lot.
Of course.
So I have to find the best way to do that. And I guess it's fine, as long as it's not like thick, like oily stuff, right?
No, they have stuff specifically
for sensitive skin. I don't have sensitive skin.
For sensitive skin, for your face, sunscreen for your face. Trust me, I got you.
Okay.
I got you.
But the face so far is good. I really like the tan. I've groomed my beard a little bit. And I could tell that you've been a little jealous that I've got a little color.
Because we looked at each other in the mirror next to one another, and I am Casper because you've gotten to go outside on these walks while I've been working and doing stuff for our life.
Well, then you have your time to work out while I do the editing, so we kind of split that up a little bit.
That's true. But I don't like to go outside alone, really.
Well, it's so crazy because we have a really nice neighborhood, but that next door app, there's always some weird stuff going on in LA lately. A lot of crime and so at certain times of day especially I wouldn't.
Yeah, and you know, just with everything that's going on in the world, it's an extra amount of stress because we live in a city that is very, very populated. So there are always people around.
Which is good. You want to be around people. You're less scared when there's a lot of people around.
Yeah, but it'll be nice to be in an open neighborhood where I can walk and not have a panic attack. Because I'm like, do you have a mask? What's going on? Don't look at me. What has this done to me?
Yeah, I know. Well, we had the guy who knocked on our door today, who's the census. And, you know, it's just, I just feel so rude. But I was like, I just don't want, like, you're going door to door. And yeah, you have a mask on. But I was like, I just don't want to. And then Dwayne Johnson came out that his whole family had it. And so I'm just kind of like, you know what? I just want to keep staying secluded. I just want to keep taking in all the information and just kind of mind my business and just stay away and just walk the distance. But I'm really excited because the house that we rented for through the end of November, once we go to Florida, it's kind of secluded.
Yeah.
There's not many neighbors. So we're going to actually be able to go outside like normal, no mask, in the backyard, walk around. There's not going to be anybody.
A dream.
Because even now I use it as a chin strap because there's no one really out. Like if I see someone coming across, but I like the sun to be on my face, so I'll put it around my chin.
Yeah.
But I just can't wait to just not have to wear one in our vicinity.
Yeah.
Just go outside and not have to do all that kind of stuff. So that's going to be nice. Let's hop into the episode. Welcome everyone to the Freddie and Alyssa Show. If you are new to the channel, welcome. Please subscribe. It feels amazing to subscribe. Mm-hmm. We get tons of letters. People write in. They go, I felt so amazing.
It's the subscribing. Best feeling, honestly. Yeah. Happiness in a little click.
A little click.
What is
that? No one's written letters about subscribing, but they have commented a lot. And all of your support is so important to us, and we love you for that. So thank you for all the love. We just always like to have fun because I like to try to make the opening a little different each time and really emphasize this subscription. Mm-hmm. But we have crossed the 25K subscription mark on YouTube. So we are 1/4 of the way there. Our goal is to hit 100,000. That opens up an ability for us to have an account manager with YouTube. And as we're growing this, it's going to be nice to have a contact with YouTube. You get a fancy plaque. You're able to really kind of show off that you have 100K subs on YouTube. Because 100K subs on YouTube is almost equivalent to like 500,000 follows on Facebook and like 500,000 followers on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Like YouTube is unique. That's why they give you a plaque. But it also having that number allows us to reach out to these publicists and these managers and agents for high-powered clients and like actors, celebrities, yeah, doctors, like different, you know, people that we want to have on. So all that support really helps. And so that's why we're always avid about subscribe, because it all kind of works together. And on Facebook, we're up around 180,000. So we are just feeling the love. I can't thank you enough, because this started off a couple years ago and we were getting... You know, what was our first, like, we got like 178 people watched the first episode, and we had like 1,000 subscribers
Joe Rogan
on
there. Said on his first episodes, he had 200 viewers.
Yeah.
So you got to start somewhere.
So my whole rant here was just to say thank you to everyone who's listening on iTunes or other audio platforms. If you're watching on YouTube and Facebook, thank you so much. And for everybody who wrote me the love of how much you're going to miss Will and Sunny, that really touched me. Because there's a million things going on in the world, and for you to take the time to write me the DMs and the comments, I was definitely scrolling through and being showered with the love, and it felt amazing, and it made me realize that we did something special, and I knew we did. But now, you know how you don't really know something's good until it's gone, that whole saying? So I feel, even though we knew, now when people are like, wow, they're gone, there's that extra layer of like, oh, right, like, wow, like, I can't believe it. And like, they, you know, and so I was just over the moon, grateful and filled with gratitude that that we made such a big impact in your life. So I want to thank you for all your support. And, you know, today we want to have another Days of Our Lives chat, because even though Chandler and I kind of talked about it on Tuesday, there's a lot of other interviews that I'm doing as well, so that we can make sure we answer a lot of your questions and we talk with everybody. But I wanted to go over the Monday-Tuesday episode, because we filmed Chandler's ep before that. So I never got a chance to touch on that. And I gotta say, the Monday episode was probably my favorite. Even though I enjoyed the exit and I thought it was beautiful, the Monday was almost a little bit more about Sunny, I guess. Maybe it's just selfish where I was like, oh, it's Sunny saying goodbye.
What a good ep.
What a great ep when Sunny's the lead of the episode.
Was that the ep? I can't remember if it's the last one or that one, but when you had that cowboy hat on?
That was the Monday.
Oh, it's so good. I love that, because your Uncle Vic gave it to you.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah.
So
and
cute.
And I can't remember how we ended up shooting that. So someone asked me, here's one of the questions, before I go over the episodes. The very last scene I shot was the last scene with my dad.
Right.
So when I came in with the cowboy hat and I was with Wally and Judy.
Right.
That whole sequence was my last...
How weird they shot that before the last episode.
Yeah. So that was my last thing, because I remember being there with my hat on, and I remember just knowing during those scenes, I'm like, this is it. And I remember saying goodbye afterwards. It was the last scenes of the day, which I've talked about before. But yeah, we shot the opening, or not the opening, of me and Chandler leaving, so, you know, grabbing our hands and the flashbacks and saying goodbye. We shot that in the morning one day. And then the next day I came back and did that.
Do they generally shoot out of order like that? Episodes?
Often?
Huh.
Yeah. Just because you have to see, you know, if there's a bunch of Hortontown Square scenes for the day, they need to schedule that in. And for some reason, I think that day I shot the me and Chandler leaving in the morning, and I think he was done. Because then he went on that hiatus, which we talked about, and then came back and said goodbye to Marlena.
That's right.
But I so happened just to do it in the same day. So later that day, I got to say goodbye to Wally. But it was really nice that I got to work with Judy and Wally.
Full circle.
As my last scenes, which was really cool. And then I got to spend time with Chandler and so everybody. But yeah, the Uncle Vic scenes, Those turned out amazing.
Amazing.
Because I don't know how the audience feels. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. Uncle Vic kind of did me dirty.
Explain.
He knew Will was innocent. And he was in jail, and there was this huge storyline about that. And even though I forgave him, I was still not 100% forgiven. I didn't really forgive him as Freddie making a character choice for Sonny. I didn't forgive him. Huh. So when I was saying goodbye to him, what I did in rehearsal was still touching, but I didn't get emotional. And the producer came out and said, "Hey, this is a really emotional goodbye." And I was like, okay. I was like, so I'm just going to basically forgive him for everything completely and say goodbye and focus on all the good times. So I ended up doing the emotional route and it turned out great. So I'm
it's
glad I got the
soap opera, baby.
Yeah.
It's Hollywood, baby.
Exactly.
No, it turned out so well, though. And wasn't it quite a few episodes back that your Uncle Vic got out of the hospital and Will had a line where he wanted to, like, push him
over the bumps?
Yeah. I remember that there was a lot going on, but I thought those scenes turned out really well between you and Uncle Vic. Because when I first watched it before you kind of shared that story with me, I thought it was so powerful that I could tell you were getting emotional, but you didn't fully let it out. Like, that's one of my favorite things. I get more moved by that almost when people hold it back. Don't know why. And I just thought that was just such a great choice. And so it's interesting to see what really goes on behind the scenes, and they're like, try it this way and do this, and you got that perfect, beautiful blend of both.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Sometimes crying, it's been written in the script a few times for certain things, but I always just feel like crying ends up becoming what the scene is about.
Sure.
I feel sometimes being able to hold back the tears allows more of a challenging, interesting perspective, yeah. Like you said, because if you're just crying, it kind of creates a reaction in everyone watching and the person.
Right.
Where if you're holding it back, it's more interesting. So I try to hold it back, and I think it's more interesting to do. But there are times you obviously cry.
Time and a place you have.
There's
to,
a time
yeah.
and a place. So absolutely. I've used it sparingly. But those scenes were really great. And then I'm glad I got to work with Wally and Judy. And then it was nice to you know, I got to say goodbye to Lucas and Kate. You know, that was one of our stops. And the scene with Billy, being able to say. Billy?
Billy?
Our special here? Guest today is Billy Flynn.
Oh, sorry, guys.
That was really a sweet moment, too. And so we kind of did our rounds. We got to say goodbye.
Yeah.
And, you know, once we watched the scenes, I think the biggest surprise to me was the exit when we were walking through the Hortontown Square.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember, for those of you who were watching and listening last week, I specifically was like, flashback. I remember all these flashbacks. I was like, oh, this is going to be a montage of everything that we've done. So when I saw the flashbacks, I was like, it caught me off guard at first, because I was like, wait a second, where did all the flashbacks go? But then when I rewatched it, I said, well, it looks like they felt it was more important to tell the story of Will's coming out, of look how far we've come, and did an homage to the coming out story and the first kiss and the making love and the whole package there, because they kind of got away from the romance the past few years. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like an homage to that. So I was like, okay. I was like, now I get that. And as I watched it back, I was like, that was really beautiful. But I was just kind of caught off guard. But the audience wouldn't know.
No, of course.
They got to see it for the first time. But for me, I was like, oh.
Read us what it said in the script? Do you have that with you?
I will pause and go get
it
real quick.
Yeah, please. This is the best.
Why don't you sing a number?
Take my regards to Broadway. Remember me in Herald Square. Tell all the gang at 42nd Street that I will soon be there. Listen to how I'm yearning. Dun-dun-dun with the old time throng. He's back. I have been doing nothing in here.
I heard you singing.
I don't need...
Oh, Benjamin.
Oh. Yeah, so I want to see what exactly it
said
in the
script.
So
here's what it was. And also, too, I have, if you haven't seen it, I did a video where I broke down the script and I showed you the whole entire last script and the schedule. And I'm doing a giveaway for three scripts and one schedule where I'm going to sign. but I don't want the whole Met comments to get convoluted. So if you look on our YouTube page, I did a script giveaway, and I'm going to be looking at those for the next week. So if you want to comment below and let me know if you want one,
yes,
that's how I'm going to like enter people to win. And I wish I would have just had 1,000 of these because it's going to be hard to pick, but I have to do some sort of way to pick. So I always say to comment, and that will usually help. But so here's initially what was in the script, where it goes, Will goes, look where we are. And then it on Sunny dissolve to music over the screen, montage of their greatest hits, flashback. Will comes out to Sunny and they feel an attraction. Then it flashes to their first date. Then it flashes to their first kiss. Then they make love for the first time, which I'm assuming is the flashback. They did the first kiss. They made love for the first time. We've seen that. Then the kiss under the mistletoe. And then Sunny gives Will the key to his place.
Oh.
Will returns home and surprises Sunny. That was from episode 12,213.
What episode do you have in your hand now?
13,929.
Wow.
And I think they do about 250. So this was like 4 years ago. Will returns home and surprises Sunny. Will returns home.
Did he ever go anywhere? From jail, maybe?
He's been to jail a few times. He's been dead. I don't know which one they mean by that. Will returns home and surprises Sunny. And then it goes to Will and Sunny's recreated wedding. And they have with Chandler. Which is because the original wedding happened with Guy Wilson.
That's right.
So then they recreated just a portion of the wedding of me and Chandler redoing our vows with Deidre. And then it goes to Will and Sunny spend Valentine's Day together and make love for the first time since being reunited. That was recent. That was 13,532. So that was probably this past Valentine's Day.
Oh.
And then flashback to their hospital honeymoon. And then flashback to Will and Sunny put their wedding rings back on. And that was 13,807. So that was probably earlier this year, too.
Why did you guys have a hospital honeymoon?
It's because he was in the hospital because of his brain.
Oh, yeah.
And then because we were afraid he was going to die. And then so we said, let's have the... So we had a little hospital thing there. But so this was the original montage. And then it comes out, Will's effect, that he touches his wedding ring. And then he goes, this ring's never going to come off my finger again. He extends his hand and then Sunny takes it. And I believe we did that. It was a close-up on our hands. And then we walk off.
So then your reactions in that episode, you were doing it based off of all of those emotional scenes, which they still had a beautiful ending,
yeah,
but it was just a little bit different.
I mean honestly, like anytime you're doing any sort of flashback, if it's a multiple flashbacks like this, you can't really, they're not showing you,
right?
So if anything, it's just kind of, you remember that time, and you just look, and then they're gonna cut away, then they show all that, and then you have to, then they'll be like, all right, we're coming out of the flashback in 3, 2, 1. And then you just, so they count it down. And then they come out of the flashback. But you have to just think about what you're going to do. The only time it was actually difficult was the wedding. I believe I was getting married to Paul. I had to have been. It was that wedding. And they were doing flashback after flashback of me and Will. But they kept cutting to me. So I think that, like, the priest or somebody was, I don't remember exactly, they were talking and it was reminding me of Will when I was about to get married to Paul.
Wait, did you actually go through with the wedding and marry Paul?
No, it got broken up. Robert Scott Wilson came in and said Will's alive, and that was all back then.
Oh my gosh, so good.
Yeah, that was the birth episode of Sonny's really showing his anger. I remember that was the episode where I was, as Wally said, bone chilling, but then the producers made me take it down because I ripped into Robert so hard.
Oh,
like, so bad. So, like, Maggie times two. And he's like, that was good. But, you know, your husband's on the altar that you're going to get married. He's like, just tone it down a little bit. And Wally, he was like, that was bone chilling. He goes, keep a lot of that. So I was like,
well, you just found out, though, that Will was alive.
Yeah, and I was mad at him for something, because I think he's the one that killed Will, and I was like, you know, blah, blah, blah. So,
Wait, as the necktie killer?
Yes.
Oh.
See, it all sticks in there.
It
you hear
sticks.
The rumors.
I do.
So, but yeah, back to that wedding real quick, is like that flashback sequence was difficult because I had to remember each one, because they would cut to a flashback and then cut to me. So I'd have to, in my mind, think of a specific flashback, then they'd cut away, and then how did that flashback affect me?
Did they tell you, though, or do they tell you what flashback it is if there are a bunch, or you just...
I think on that one, because basically, Stuart, our stage manager, and Fran does this too, they have a different way of doing it, where, what do they call it? Cueing. They call it cueing. So if, for instance, if the camera's panning over like this, let me see if I can do this. So if the camera's panning over and it's about to hit you, if you can see it with your peripheral vision, you can just start your line. Because sometimes they'll start on like the teapot and then they'll go to you right here. And if you can't see the camera, then someone will have to cue you in the background so you can see their hand. So then you know when to start talking. And so they'll cue you for that. Or there's different times when we'll be standing outside the door of the Kyriakos Mansion, and you know how people walk in,
yeah,
or in any scene. And so the stage manager will have like their rolled up like white piece of paper, and they'll be like through like all these different people, and you'll have a little thing through a crack, and they have their hand up like this, and you're just sitting there, and then they wave it, and then you have to walk in and go, "Oh, hey, what's up, Uncle Vic?"
Funny.
So there's times that they'll wave it, or they'll just wave their hand depending on where you are. But sometimes the stage manager will have to go over to the other side, cue someone, and then run over here and then wait. And then you'll hear through their thing, "All right, cue Freddy." And then they like cue really fast, and then you have to like walk in.
So then to cue you for the flashback, did you know what?
Thanks for bringing that back. So I think Stuart was there going like that. So every time he would cue me, I would know it's a new flashback.
Would they tell you what the new flashback
is? No, I just memorized them in order, I think.
Oh, like I guess you would memorize.
So if I look at that, I go, okay, lines. It's that. But what I was basically doing is this one, even this, I wouldn't have to really, like,
you can
us
imagine.
Kissing under the mistletoe, yeah, or me giving him the key is all sweet. So I would essentially, I would just start off and allow it to impact me more and more and more. And that's what I did in that scene. I remember starting off and I allowed myself to get more and 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 more emotional. So I didn't really have to think about each individual thing. I was just able to do that because I think the person who was marrying us was reading, was doing their monologue.
Yeah.
And so in between the monologue, he was, and like Christopher, I think, is just sitting here looking at me, and I'm just like, looking over here. You know what? It wasn't me and Christopher's wedding. I think I was watching someone else get married.
Really?
And
could be.
I was just like in their wedding or something. I don't know. We do so many episodes, I forget. The fans who are listening are like, "I know exactly what you're talking about."
Let us know below, please.
So
I'm curious.
But and then one last thing, because this is a lot. I wish we would have recapped these this whole time. Can you imagine how many details? This reminded me of that episode. We shot all that stuff. I was so emotional. But earlier that day, so Sonny basically storms out. Whatever this is, he storms out into the corridor outside the church, and he leans up against this table, and he's emotional. I shot that first earlier in the day.
This is when you found out Will was still alive.
I don't
this
know.
This episode.
Whatever you're episode I'm talking about that I have no idea about.
It's just a memory. Okay.
I just remember I was doing the flashbacks. I was in tears, and I rush off, and I'm outside in the corridor of the church, and I'm up against this table, and I'm emotional. We shot that first. Mm-hmm. Then later in the day, we shot the monologue with them waving the flashbacks, and I started crying. So I remember even the producer came out and said, "Hey, what you shot earlier, you weren't as emotional. We should reshoot that." Because I didn't know how emotional I was going to get.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So
there's always those little things I think are always fun to share with the fans. The ones who know the episode know what I'm saying, but I'm probably piecing a few of them together. I don't remember, but...
That's so crazy what goes on behind the scenes.
It's all cut together.
Yeah.
There's even times too, like I remember the time it was Marlena and Drake's not Drake, John. Sorry, something in my eye.
You better be sorry.
They were getting their engagement party and Kristen showed up with a gun.
And we
did this whole entire scene, and everyone's in it. And then they're like, "All right, that was great, everyone. Can we just get an insert shot of Freddy saying she's got a gun?"
You didn't know your gun.
Well, they missed it because there's four cameras. Uh-huh. So they try to move the camera and make sure they're ready for when their shot comes.
Right.
but they it was just so much going on in the chaos that they missed the shot they needed. So everyone's just like, all right, that's great, we're done. But can we get that insert of Freddy saying she's got a gun? I go, they're like, so 3, 2, 1. I'm like, she's got a gun. Like, you have to like, because you're not in it.
Yeah.
You have to make that up.
Yeah.
But that happens a lot where you have to just cut into the scene and do an insert or, you know, hey, can you pick up that purse or pick up that bag? But I remember I was like, what's this going to turn out being? And it looked good. And I had to really convince myself, but I was like, she's got a gun.
Oh my gosh. When you did, I remember those scenes when on the show your mom had passed the very first time and you went, or wait, no. Maybe you were at Will's grave. What scenes am I thinking of when you went to the grave and you were crying? Like, really?
Will.
It was Will. Do you, because that was quite a few years ago, right? Do you remember leading up, like, what that felt like to you and doing it? Because I remember that it was just so intense and it was something I just remember, I can see it in my head.
Those were the two storylines that were the hardest for me, is when Will passed and when Adrian passed.
She did pass, but that was more recently
From
the whole car.
But having to cry all day is hard.
So you, because in all of
those
scenes.
I did the funeral. I did the, you know, you it's really hard because a lot of people, even if you go through a tragedy in real life, sometimes you just don't have it in you anymore.
Yeah.
You've cried everything out. So I started off with Will, with his death. I remember walking into our apartment and I found out where he died. And I remember putting my hand there and I was like, as soon as I touch the ground and I'm almost going to like feel where he died, I'm going to cry. And at that point, that was when we just went through our accident and you were in Ohio. And so I was listening to the our song that we're going to dance to at our wedding. And that made me really emotional. It's the Ed Sheeran
Crying Out Loud.
Thinking Out Loud.
Or Thinking Out Loud.
Thinking Out Loud. It's such an important song to us. We're going to dance to it at our wedding, and we don't know the name.
Well,
but no, it's Thinking Out Loud. And if you listen to the lyrics, it came out at the same moment when Alyssa was learning to walk again, and she was in Ohio. I was in California going back and forth. And it just so happened to be around the time that Will passed. So I had a lot of emotion inside of me, so I was using that. But even that song got stale for me to pull from. So after like 3-4 hours of all these different scenes, because I had to go to every person. So when I saw my mom, I cry. When I saw Allison, I cry. When I saw Camp Camila, I would cry. So, and then the grave and like all this stuff. So by the time I got to the grave, I was like, this song is not helping, you know. But now when I turn it on, I cry every time.
Yeah, you do.
But it brings me back. But you're sucked of all the... You can only use it for so much. So I went to the Budweiser dogs again.
Hey, Old Faithful.
That works. The dogs and the horses are best friends.
Gets you every time.
And it gets
time.
Me every time. So I just watched that video and I get to the point where I'm about to cry. And then I just put my phone away and I give the cue to the stage manager. And she goes, 3, 2, 1. And then I just walked into the grave. And then I just thought about that dog and horse and it made me cry. And then once I was crying, I was able then to focus on Will.
Of course.
So once you get yourself crying, then I can make it about what I want to do. But music. Some people don't do it. I use music and I use video to get me to cry.
Yep.
Someone like Camila. We'd have to ask her. I don't feel like she like her. Judy definitely doesn't. Judy just cries.
Some people have very close to them.
Camila sometimes I feel takes time, maybe. I think she takes time, but yeah, I'm the one that I listen to music or watch videos to get me in the mode.
So if you are doing something emotional, because you don't always have emotional scenes, you know, a lot of times you don't. Do you do it in your dressing room first to get there? Because I feel like that's something more of what I need to do, and then... You don't do it down there. Mm-hmm. You just wait until you get there. Mm-hmm. And then they know, hey, Freddie's going to do his thing. He'll let us know when he's ready.
I never even do it in rehearsal.
Well, yeah, you want to hold it.
So, yeah. So even in rehearsal, I'll just walk through and I'll just, you know, I'll be, you know, I can't believe mom's gone. Like I'll get like 20% there without crying because I don't want to waste it.
Of course not.
And then, once it's there, I'm just like, give me a second. And everyone knows because everyone knows. Who's in the industry. Like, it's incredible. When someone can do a scene where you break down and cry or you yell or you are just emotional, it's amazing to watch. You're just like, holy crap. Like, not only did you cry, you made me cry, and you delivered lines while hitting your marks, making sure you're in the right lighting, making sure you're saying your lines correctly.
Yeah.
So it all comes together, and people just appreciate it. It's amazing to watch. I'm glad I got to do it a few times. I wouldn't want to do it often. That's why when someone said, you know, like, I think it'd be cool to be a doctor, but even being a doctor would be so hard. Like, Mary Beth Evans... Every time she's talking, it's just all this doctor lingo. That's a nightmare. Because you can't, like, how I study lines, I just look at the paragraph and I just kind of take it in. Let me see if I can do it right here. What's one of my last scenes? So I'll show you all how I memorize lines. So I'll see the script and I instantly went to this. So when I first look at my script, I won't even see what Will's talking about. So I don't look at what he said. I don't know what the context is. All I know is that Sonny says, we've had some challenging times over the last few years, sad losses, especially for me, losing my mom. But now, as we're getting ready to leave, I'm mostly thinking about the happy times with you. We've had some challenging times over the past few years, sad losses, especially for me, losing my mom. But now, we're getting ready to leave, I'm mostly thinking about happy times with you. So then, I just know that. So I'll just kind of improv, you know, we had some... challenging times over the years, sad loss, especially for me, losing my mom. But now that we're getting ready to leave town, all I'm really thinking of is the happy times with you.
Nailed it.
So I don't know if that's exact, but I just go, you know, we've had some challenging times over the years, some sad losses, especially for me, losing my mom. But now that we're getting ready to leave, I'm just thinking of the happy times. You know, I'm thinking of all the times that I've spent with you. So I'll just change it to get myself to where I want to emotionally.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to make myself sad thinking about like a fake dead mom, but like but that's how I remember. So even before I go to work, I wouldn't know what anyone else is talking about.
That way you can listen.
So I listen.
Hmm.
So when we do the scene, a lot of times in rehearsal, if me and Chandler like run lines, I still will half pay attention. And then I really listen when we're action. Mm. I go, what did he say to that? What's he say before that? So I don't recommend this for actors. This is someone who has done 5,000 scenes and knows his character so well.
Yeah.
And that I don't need to do the homework. I could not do this with an audition.
Aspiring actor goes into an audition.
I didn't even do my homework or read what the other people say because Freddie said, you don't have to do that. No.
Like, that's your line?
No, you have to read and jot notes on an audition. But I know Sonny so well, I didn't even need to know what the hell's going on. I just need to listen and I know how to react.
What a blessing, though, that all of those years, you know Sonny. Mm-hmm. You made Sonny who he is. You know how he thinks, what he reacts to, if he's hurt and angry, or if he's more sad when he reacts, which is usually it comes out of hurt. But you know all of these things, so when you get your scripts, you would be able to memorize like that, and you wouldn't really stress because you know him. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's really crazy. I'm you know, it's all bittersweet, and you know, I know they're back to production now, and I'm hoping everything goes as planned because I saw Martsoff wrote something that they're taking precautions, and I just want everyone to be safe and happy and healthy, and so I know how much people love working there. It was great to be there, and you know, for us, I know that we've made the pivot and that we're gonna, you know, go to Florida now, and that's what we're focused on, and I'm excited just for that new chapter because there is some comfort in a routine. There's comfort in that character. There's comfort in that job. There's comfort in all of that, which is nice because comfort makes you happy.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're uncomfortable, that's when you grow.
When grand things happen, baby.
Yeah. So that's why it's like I have this initial excitement of this new chapter because there's just so much unknown. There is no comfort. It's going to be, what are we going to be doing? What's the day-to-day? What's the grind? What's the next plan? Like, what's everything? So, that'll be really good. So, there's been a lot of attention on us this week, and it always gives you a dose of what next level is. Uh-huh. I've always said that at the Day of Days, you feel like 100 times more famous at the Day of Days. And for those of you who don't know the Day of Days, it's about 1,000 Days of Our Lives fans, and they rent out the Universal City Walk, like one area. So, there's only 30 of us there and 1,000 people who all know who you are. That doesn't happen unless you're like really famous where everywhere you go, everyone knows you.
Yeah.
But with days, I feel people know me, but they don't come up. But it's rare. Like, there's not as many people know who I am compared to someone who's really famous. But when you're in that scenario where 1,000 people all know who you are, you kind of feel like Justin Bieber for the 6 hours. You're like, everywhere I look, everyone knows who you are. It's a strange feeling. But it's super cool because you feel the love, you know? Yeah. But the same thing happened when the episode ends, because when there's something big happening, you feel this different energy where my social media, like anytime I refresh like my ads on Twitter or my DMs or comments, it's just tons. And then all the views on all of our episodes, and you're just inundated. You're like, wow.
This is what it would be.
So it's almost like you get a hint of like what next level is to create a platform that is that vibrant all the time. And I just feel so blessed that we happened to find this podcasting platform during a time when we could share all of this with everybody. Like, now's the time. Like, if there wasn't, what would people do? You know, like, if this was
that'd be it
1980, no one would know. They would see one article that I would do. And that's all they would know. They'd be like, well, what's he up to? Like, you'd never see him again.
Until you booked a project.
And then
you could never see your work or who anything about you.
But then you start only getting to hear just these. If you went back and looked at every interview I've ever done, not anything we've done on the podcast, no social media. If you couldn't look at that, and some of you said go learn about Freddie Smith, and you looked at every interview, you're not going to know anything about me.
Yeah.
You would know I'm from Ashtabula, how old I am, I played baseball. And that I was on 90210, I auditioned, did a few commercials, and was Sunny on Days, and you got to see interviews about me talking about the scenes. No one had any idea who I was. Social media allows the fans to get to know
Freddie.
Yes.
I love that.
So what a gift.
What a gift, baby.
Because when I exited 90210, there was no social at this kind of scale. Yes, YouTube and Twitter were there in 2011, but not like it is now.
Yeah.
So all the people who did pretty much anything before 2012, it just, you were on people and then it just disappeared. I'm happy now at Days is that it's at the height of social media so that we're able to continue that relationship with the people who
But that's what's so cool, because even with me, if I watch a movie, a television show, especially if it's reality, the second I'm done with it, because I've invested so much time with these people on screen in front of me, I'm like, well, what are they up to now? So I automatically go to their Instagram. And it's crazy because that show Married at First Sight that we talked about a couple podcasts ago, we watched season one, which I think was in 2014. And there's this one couple, and I was really curious what they were up to. And they're still together. They have kids, and they have so many followers. But it's because they've kept up with the social media grind. They have a podcast there on YouTube, and they really took advantage of that. So I just think it's so cool for people to be able to continue to connect with people who watch them, because we watch them for a long, full season.
Oh, yeah.
They have a lot of episodes. So you're like, what are they doing? I feel like I know them. And it's just really cool that we have social media now. You get to truly connect.
If you use it right.
Yeah,
some people don't, but I think a lot of people do, and I think it's, you know, we're going to listen to this audiobook called Irresistible.
Yes.
When we're doing our road trip, because we're going to save all that, might as well.
Yeah.
Because we're going to do, you know, anywhere from 4 to 8 hour stints of driving, and it's all about social media, and I think it's just important not to demonize it, but just to learn about its pitfalls, to learn that, like how smoking was, because I smoked for a few years back in my early 20s. And not only are you addicted to the nicotine, but you get addicted to the physical habit. You get addicted to getting into your car, the pounding, and it's still with me. Like, I'll joke with you sometimes where I'll pretend, where I'm like, you're going to tell me a story. And I like sit back and I go like this, and I pretend to peel off the
plastic,
the plastic, but the foil.
Oh, yeah,
you pull
yeah.
that off, and there's like little pieces of tobacco that's there, and you have to like dump that out, and then you pull one out, and then, you know, you're always looking for the lighter, so you're just like, where's the, and it's always like right here, and then you gotta, you know, you're you know, you light
my
it.
My actor, honey.
And then, you know, but the physical, you don't realize that the physical aspect of smoking
you're addicted
stuck
to.
With you just as much as the nicotine addiction did. So with our cell phones, they're saying not only is social media addicting, but the act of grabbing your phone and the way we interact with our phone is just like the physical addiction. Now, I'm paraphrasing. I don't know if that's in the book. I don't know if I heard that. I listened to a lot of podcasts and a lot of stuff, but it made sense to me that we're not only addicted to it, but we're addicted to the actual picking it up and how it feels too. So I just want to make sure that we always stay healthy with it, because I think social media is probably like drinking, probably like smoking, probably like gambling.
Yeah.
Where if you do it
in moderation.
In moderation. Everything in moderation. Smoking's not good for you at all. But you know what I'm saying. Like the cigarettes and
but we also still don't know so much about the radiation from our cell phones that we're all on. That's it's all right next to us. It's, you know, a lot of people still have it in their bedroom when they sleep at night. Like, there's a lot we don't know. So crazy times we're living in, technology. We'll find out.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to listening to a lot of books and continue to learn and share any nuggets with all of you. And but we are going to sign off, and we will be bringing you some really cool stuff next week as well. And we're going to be doing a lot more vlogs coming up. And so we're getting everything set up. It just, for some reason, it just felt these past 3 weeks, I just feel like we've been running in place. You know, just everything's just been organized.
There's just been a lot going on, a lot of behind the scenes work of just setting
all these things. Yeah. Up so it's all kind done. Of, it's almost like we're laying the foundation. Yeah. Now we're about to build the house. So people
Let's
are like, oh,
build the house, babe.
I've been driving through. All I'm seeing is this slab. I'm like, I want to see the house. It's like, it's coming. So we're going to kind of revamp and bring you a lot of cool different things, but we're just taking our time, because that's one thing I've learned over the years. It's like, take your time, do some trial and error. And this way, when you announce something to the audience, they can be excited about it and they can count on it.
Yep.
I never want to continue to change my mind too much. So we've been being very careful on how we're doing things. So we want to thank you for tuning in, and we'll be back next Wednesday and we'll be back next Friday at 3 p.m. Eastern. Noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. So mark your calendars, hit the notification bell. This way you'll be notified when we put up a new episode. But you can put that in your calendars that every Wednesday and Friday you will get a Freddie and Alyssa show right here on YouTube and Facebook and iTunes and all that fun stuff. iTunes comes out a little late, sorry. But
working on it.
But yeah, YouTube and Facebook, you'll be out at 3 Eastern. So we love you all. And until next week,
get
have
that
a
boost
safe
of happiness. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button. And oh my gosh, you're going to be so happy.
Yeah, get addicted to hitting that like button. That's a healthy addiction. But have a good weekend, everyone. We appreciate you, and we'll talk to you soon.